Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
You know, I know that, you know, all of us and all the busyness of life and all the things that we go through and do, we still have this desire to be a positive impact on the people around us. I know that. And I know many of you in this place. And I know that that is just part of your everyday thinking, is you want to be a positive influence upon the people around you. And I also know, because I'm real acquainted with humanity in my own life, and bless you. I also know that there's moments where we go through things in our life that distract us, or little things pile up and become a frustration to us, and, you know, we sometimes bypass the people in our life, and we forget about that high calling to be an influencer on the people around us in a positive manner, in the way that we really, in the depths of our heart and when we're thinking clear, that we want to be. And those of you who have this personal faith in Christ, to know Him as Savior and Lord, and you know, you understand the call of being a disciple and a devoted follower of His, you understand that call even to another depth, where it becomes not just a wish and a want, but it is a conviction in your life to, you know, be exemplary with an impact on the people around you. And I want to talk this morning, obviously from the Scripture, and talk about this call that we feel to be a positive influence on the people around us. And of course, we know to do that in Christ, you know, we have to, you know, overcome ourselves, overcome the things that distract us, the things that hurt us, the people who've hurt us, all these things that we collect through our lifetime. Disappointments, maybe even a disappointment somewhere in your faith or in the Lord, or you're still asking questions why about things that you haven't gotten answers for. And along the way, as we are devoted followers of Christ and becoming devoted followers, we're on that track. It's not just what we say. It's what we do and how we live that captures and influences people around us. I mean, granted, you meet a stranger, you may never see them again. What you share in that moment and what you say matters, but they don't know how you live. But when you live with a family and you live within a community, and especially, you know, a community that's a little bit smaller, you know, that may not be your favorite or not, but, you know, we bloom where we're planted. And here we are in this, what I say, a wonderful community. It has its flaws. We get that. But here we are in this wonderful opportunity in a community in which we live, in an area in which we live, you and I, that we can live out our faith. We're not swallowed up in a metro area of 2 million people. With that, there's blessing. I'm not against it. I've lived in those cities. And you can still have influence. But what an influence you can have when the pond is a little smaller. And I don't want you to see that as a negative thing. I don't want you to see it as a downside. Let's look at the positive of this, the influence that you can have because your area and the populace here is a little bit smaller, and that which you do can be magnified. On the other side of the coin, sometimes the mistakes that we make can be magnified. Jesus calls us to be His follower and to do as He does. And that's a high calling. I sure need His grace. I need His mercy in my life. to answer that call and be one who can rise to that call and that standard just like you. I'm acquainted with me. I know my natural tendencies. I know the battles. And you know yours. I want to read you something in Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to look at some other verses this morning that I'm going to allude to or take time to read. But in Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. And by the way, if you want to follow along and didn't bring your Bible, in the pew rack in front of you, there are Bibles there. You can use that. And if you don't have your own Bible, that Bible that's there in the pew rack in front of you, you take that out. Not only follow along this morning, but when you leave this place today, you take that with you. That Bible is now yours. If you need a Bible, we want you to have one. That is a gift to you. You can open the cover and where it says, name, you write your name in there. And if it says presented by, you can just, write God. How's that? You don't have to write this church's name on it or anything like that. This is a gift from the Lord to you. So, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 1, it starts out and it says, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?'" I find it as a little bit of a peculiar question. Calling to him a child, he calls a child over, he put them in the midst of his disciples and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me, and they lead them to commit sin, it would be better for that person to have a great millstone fastened around their neck and be drowned in the depth of the sea." What imagery Jesus uses to say, if you cause someone to sin, someone who believes in me, it would be better for you to have a millstone, one of those big grinding stones that they use to grind wheat. And they even, depending on the volume and size and how much they would do on their own home farm, sometimes they couldn't, it was so large they couldn't do the volume themselves. They actually had an animal work and walk, and it was this big grinding wheel, and it was a stone like that. And Jesus is, and what strong imagery that he uses, he says, it would be better for a person to have a millstone tied around their neck and put into water that they just can't stand up in, to be drowned. It's one of the things that the Syrians and the Greeks and the Romans were known in history to use as one of the ways for capital punishment. Now, I want you to know that Jesus here is not saying, "Hey, I'm all for capital punishment. Now you walk out with your political agenda and you write Washington." Okay, that's not what he's saying. But what he's saying is it'd be better for that to happen, because that would happen quickly, opposed to the eternal judgment that you would live under in hell. And that's the contrast he's talking about. And the point that he's making is that this sin of causing and leading someone else who believes in Christ to sin is a very serious issue in the mind of God. We all know that temptations come. We all know that we make choices. We all know in this place that we have committed sin. If you've committed sin, put at least one hand up. I just want to make sure there are no liars among us, because now you could raise your hand. Yeah, we've all committed sin. And it says here that when they were talking about the greatest in the kingdom, that Jesus brings this child among them. And understand the context. You know, children, unlike you and I, because we are on in our years a little further along, We've had time for disappointment, and we've had time to be hurt, and we've had time to question things, even things that are true. And a child, you know, there's a reason that some of them believe in some of these fairy tales. They're children, and they believe, and they believe easily. And Jesus says, if you come to me, even though you're an adult, with a childlike faith and believe upon me, and then he transitions into, if you take a person who is like a child in their faith with me, they are in my kingdom, they believe upon me, and you cause them to sin, there is this very serious thing with God. Now, we can say, hey, not my problem. People make their own, you know, decisions. It's not my fault. But there are things that you and I can do, though we're wanting to be this positive influence for the kingdom and in our faith. There are things that we can do that we maybe don't pay attention to or that we don't want to deal with that we can lead people to sin. And I want you to know that's a very serious thing with God. Because, you know, he loves you. He loves the person next to you. He loves the people outside of these walls. He loves the people at other churches. He loves them. He cares about them. And he knows that sin separates us from him. He doesn't want to live in that separation. He wants to live in a good relationship with you and with me. And here we are, his disciples, and we're wanting to be the carriers of his name and the good news. And yet he says, if you cause someone who believes in me to sin, it's a very serious issue with me. He's got issue with it. Turn to the person next to you and say, he's got issue with it. He's got issue with it. Now we know there's forgiveness. We know how to repent and come back to God and ask for forgiveness and say, I want to live different. And we walk a different direction in our life. And, you know, we may be in this room and we have caused other people to sin, okay? Or we've had a part in it. Listen, I understand that. There is a grace and a mercy when we are sincere and confess our sin to God. I'm not suggesting that you find a stone, okay? And that you are now missing. That is not what Jesus is telling you. He's telling you this is a very serious issue with sin and leading people to sin. And here we are trying to answer the call of God in our life to be positive influencers of who Christ is and who he is in our life. There are some things that we can do. There's many things, but I want to talk about a few things that may be where we have to be very watchful in our Christian walk and how that influences those around us. Keep in mind, we're at different levels of maturity in Christ, but none of us have arrived, okay? There is one who's perfect. It's Jesus. And he forgives us and cleans us up and he perfects us and moves us along and we're supposed to be transformed. But, you know, I'm still on the journey. Okay? I'm still on the journey. I'm still on the walk. But along the way, we answer the call. And so there are things that we can do that become very impressionable on other people. And I'm not saying that you and I should think more of ourselves and our influence than we should, but what we do has an influence on other people. How we act, how we conduct ourselves, what we post on Facebook, what we do on Twitter, whatever, what we do on... I don't do any of these things. I just hear about them, okay? You know that. Those of you who know me, I'm not on them. I'm not against them, you know? It's not my thing, okay? And if it's your thing, I am not criticizing you on the matter, okay? But we have to be careful what comes out of our mouth and what people see and what we post. I know you want your little picture to go, what, viral or benign or malignant or I don't know, whatever it is. Usually viral in our house, you know, we had 4 children, 4.5 years. Usually viral in our house meant something else, you know. And I'm, is viral where they don't get medication or they do get, they don't? Okay. They get medication? No, they don't. Okay. Not that it matters. They're all about out of my house. So, you know, I know that you want to be this positive influence. And now your realm of influence isn't just affecting your community who you see and talk to and bump into every day. Now through this social network, did I do that right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm looking for affirmation, son. Yes. Make I get these. Well, no, okay. Don't overdo it. Social network, you can influence the world. So here we are, trying to answer the call and understanding that there are things that I can say and do in my life that leads another believer in Christ into sin or play a part in it. Now, we all are responsible for our own decisions. It doesn't remove that. Don't think, yeah, you know what? It is my friend's fault I did that. Or it is my wife's fault or my husband's fault or my sibling's fault that I did that. We make our own choices. We learn to stand on our own 2 feet. But I want you to know the context and this whole childlike and children, that they are very impressionable, right? And those in the faith, regardless of age, can be impressionable. Those newer in the faith can be very impressionable. The people around us and making a mark and making an impression. And I want you to know there's a few things that we need to be very careful of. And one of them is this. We need to be careful on what we're teaching. This is the Word of God. And you and I can have a tendency, you and I, to experience something in life and try to make sense out of it because we so badly want an answer. You know, God forbid we don't try to figure something out or have closure on something. And along the way, we try to deduce things from that information we have gathered as if we have gathered all information. And we come up with this reason and then try to slap Christianity on it. And we at times find ourselves working in maybe what sounds like good human reasoning, and it sounds kind and, you know, sounds palatable and it sounds tolerantly respectful to others. And all of a sudden we're caught up in a teaching that is not based upon His Word. And so those who are newer in the faith can look at someone who's maybe in the faith, and they may not even know if you've been a Christian for a long time or not. They just think that they're the new one. And they can look and observe and catch how we live and what we do. And they gather information that we have said or how we have lived. And it's actually contrary and off the mark from the purity of God's Word. If we continue in that, and it's not challenged and it's not corrected, you know, time goes by. And now the church and believers digress, and they get away from the truth of His Word and who He is. You know, we can make righteousness something that it's not. We can create all kinds of rules that sound good to us because maybe we don't struggle with it and say that that's holiness. And somebody else who is very sincere in their faith in Christ and wanting to follow Him and know Him and be a believer and step into relationship within the body of Christ and believers. And all of a sudden they're given, here's what righteousness is, and here's the rules, and here's the standards, and you had better. And all of a sudden, they are focused on the to-do list and no longer focused on the person of Christ. Then we've missed the point. This is about relationship with Him, and because of relationship with Him, our life is transformed and we change. And yes, now we live a life that God deems holy, and where His standards or where His rules and where His will is at. We can very subtly get on a little bit of a slippery slope and begin to slide and unintentionally teach false things. I want us to be careful with that in our life. I have to be careful with that in my life. When I sit with people and we talk and we look at Scripture, or we share biblical principles, and if I have something to say that's outside, not outside of His principles and contradiction, but you can't find it on page and chapter and verse in here, and I say, you know what, this is what I want to share with you, this is my suggestion. You can consider it or throw it out. When we look at this, I don't say, this is my suggestion. I say, this is what His Word says. See the difference? And we have to be careful that in our suggestion, in the theology that we come up with, that we have gathered somewhere from someone else or from deducing things in our life and slap Christianity on it when it's contrary to His Word. We better be careful about that. That can lead people, the wrong teaching can lead people further from the Lord, though they come inside the walls of the church. See, the lessons and teachings that happen in this church are not just from the pulpit. There's lessons and information and teaching that already went on in this room, in the pew, in the lobby, in the prayer time, with our children this morning. See? There's lessons and things that we're teaching as we live and as we live here and as we proclaim Christ in our life. Here's another area I want us to be very aware of. When we feel discouraged or disgruntled, whether it has to do with the church or it has to do with another Christian person or if it has to do with, a pastor, a leader, another person in the church, and we're disgruntled somewhere along the way with what's going on. And, you know, because we're disgruntled and we think we got it figured out, we just think other people should know about it. You might be saying it to a friend, and what you think is in confidence, or you think that other people aren't paying attention, but there's this secondary audience that could be very impressionable about what you say or what you post. Out of your discouragement or out of you being disgruntled, there are others who could listen to it and handle it and put it aside, but there are others that this trips them up in their walk and in their faith in the Lord. It is better for that person to have a millstone. Get it? When I picture drowning, it is never a pleasant image. It is never a pleasant image. But that is the seriousness of how God looks at when we lead someone else who is a believer and lead them to sin. Through false teaching, some personal preference, through some personal hurt, through our own discouragement. Here's another area I want to spend a few minutes on. Permissible things. In other words, things that Jenna over here might be able to do in her life, in the way she lives, and not sense any conviction from the Holy Spirit that what she's doing is wrong. And so she just continues to live her life this way. But, down the row and over a few pews and across an aisle, Christy over here looks and is aware of something that Jenna does in her life that Christy does not feel the freedom and liberty to do. She doesn't feel that it's acceptable or right or permissible for her. And now, across the aisle, and, you know, near the back, Lisa's back here. Let's just say she's a newer believer. And she sees that Jenna posts something and does something that, you know, on her wall that says, you know, this is acceptable. I go to church. I worship. I raise my hands. I pray with people. And she has the liberty to do it. She looks over here and says, well, Christy doesn't have the liberty to do that. Well, I wonder what's right. And I guess, well, maybe if that's okay, I mean, you know, I guess I can do it. And all of a sudden, those of us who are impressionable begin to judge our walk and relationship with the Lord by the impression or the standard of other people. Listen, that is not completely bad. We are supposed to base everything upon His Word, right? However, if we base everything upon His Word and nothing upon relationship, then there is no mentoring and discipleship that can go on. So, newer believers, or newer in this growth in Christ, they are impressionable. And it's not like they consciously go around and say, what is so-and-so doing? And what is this person doing? I guess that that's okay. It's not like they come to church with a checklist. It's information that we gather by being around each other or being online or in the social network or wherever we have relationship with people. And I want you to know that what you do and how you live and what I do and what I say and how I live carries an influence with other people. You don't need a title for that to happen. You don't need a pulpit for that to happen. So, here's Jenna. I'm just using her for example, Jenna. You know, she might do something that she finds permissible. She doesn't feel a real conviction over. She doesn't find it in God's Word that, you know, she can't do it. And Christy over here just, you know what? I just can't do that, participate, live that way, or do those activities. I just can't because I feel like that's a sin for me. She can't find a scripture that says, don't do it. But she feels out of her relationship with the Lord. She does not have the freedom to do that. She feels that would really grieve the Lord. And if she were to do that, that would influence others to do the same thing. And so Lisa back here is trying to piece this all together. I want to read you something from Philippians chapter 2. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read this quickly. There's another passage I'll have you turn to in a moment. It says, Philippians chapter 2, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So in other words, if Jenny here has a liberty to go do something that Christy does not, and Jenna becomes aware that what she does, maybe she doesn't feel a conviction that's wrong, and she can't find it in Scripture where it's wrong, but she knows that this is becoming something that Lisa back here is stumbling with. It's hindering her walk with the Lord. It's creating temptation for her. Then Jenna needs to look upon Lisa's interest and benefit in her walk with Christ, and therefore either cease what she's doing for the sake of Lisa's growth, or what Jenna's doing, she needs to stop broadcasting it. She doesn't post it on Facebook. She doesn't talk about it with people. Now, that doesn't make her a hypocrite. It's not like she's preaching against the very thing that she's privately doing. It's just that she may have a liberty to do something that to her it is not sin, but to someone else it is. And therefore she needs to just keep it between her and God. I'm going to put it to you this way. Back in my first youth pastorate, in fact, it was when Sue and I, we were dating. I don't think that you asked me to marry you yet at that point. And so, whoa, I'm kidding. We were going to go on a date, and we decided that we would go to a movie. Now, I want you to know, I didn't go to a lot of movies, even as a teenager. First of all, there's just a lot of junkola. I'm being kind because I'm preaching. This is just not stuff that is worth the entertainment or my time, in my estimation. And I'll just be honest with you, I rarely go to a theater now. But I'll let you know mostly why. It's not just because it's junkola out there. I'm aware that someone could see me. And someone who's impressionable might think that that's acceptable, and they may assume that I'm going to see any number of those movies posted on their billboard. Sue and I went on this date. We found a parking place. We walked down the block. We crossed the street. There was a lineup outside the theater. And as we were on this date, and we were going to go see this movie, there were some young people in line. Hey! And this conviction of the Spirit came over me. And I said, now, is this something that is acceptable? Is this something that is okay for me? Is it okay for them? Are they here? What are they going to watch? And now me just showing up there can say to them, hey, our youth pastor's here. I can go see movies. And all of a sudden, I become a stumbling block or an endorsement for something that they may not have the freedom and liberty to actually be doing without sinning. I said to Sue, I'm uncomfortable that we can't do that. And we turned around, and we walked back to my car, and we left. We didn't stand in line. I didn't go to the movie. At that point, I feel like, well, gee, was it too late or not or whatever? It doesn't matter. I needed to follow a conviction of the Holy Spirit based upon what I discover is His Word. Now, I know that you and I can show up at places and not be doing anything wrong, and someone can go by and assume the worst. It was like this story that I just heard recently. Gene was walking in downtown many years ago, downtown Bangor? Where? Was your brother? With his wife. That's what it was. Thanks. Yeah. Yeah. I'm getting it. Let me tell the story. You didn't hear it? I'll tell you, son. The rest of you can just take a break. Someone saw Gene with another woman walking in downtown. Don't anybody leave here yet, because you're only going to get half the story if you didn't hear it all from Gene already. He was walking downtown with another woman, someone that was not Carol. How could he do that to Carol? I know. Well, just look, hold on. Someone saw him. They talked to him about it, said, I saw you walking downtown with another woman. Well, where was I and when was this? Come to find out, it wasn't Gene at all. It was Gene's brother walking with his own wife. Now, it's okay. We make mistakes. It would be like seeing me go into a bar, park my motorcycle, and walk in, and you might start going, oh. Or you might think, see, honey, it's okay. I remember going into a bar in the middle of an afternoon, and I called a deacon first, say, this is where I'm going, and there's a fellow here who has fallen off the wagon and is struggling, and I received a call that this is where he's at. You know, we need to be careful on the conclusions we jump to. But there are things that people can actually see us do and participate in or post on Facebook that says, yes, it is okay, and I am a Miller Lite fan. I'm not talking about a chandelier. And you just think it's okay. Now, you may not feel a conviction over it, and you're saying, don't you judge me. I can't find in the scripture where it says I can't have a drink. Hey, whoa, 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 pony. Just hold on. Listen to what the Spirit of Christ is saying. That if you have a liberty for something that is not contrary to the scripture, it should stay between you and God if it is something that has the potential to cause someone who is a believer in Christ to be tempted and lead them to sin that trips them up. We are to look upon the interests of others and the benefit for them, not just say, hey, it's their problem, and if they can't handle it, blah, 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 and this is me, and I don't care what they think, and they shouldn't judge me. Well, I got news for you. We're big on the don't judge one another, because in Scripture we pull out all the verses that say don't judge, and in those contexts it means don't make final judgment. There is only one judge. It is God. But I want you to know that there is Scripture that talks about judging those within the walls of the body of Christ. I want you to look, if you'd like, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and this is just one example, but there's a principle here. It's not just about sexual immorality. He says, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning sexually immoral people of the world, or the greedy and the swindlers or idolaters, since you would need to go out into the world. In other words, you have to live in this world but not be of it. You want to reach people. You want them to be converted. You want them to know the grace and mercy of God. You want them to know Christ. So you have to be out there amongst these people. But what he was talking about, but now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother, in other words, a believer, if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or is an idolater, reviler, drunker, or swindler. And, you know, the list would go on. He's just listing and the like. Not even to eat with such one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church who we are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. Now, I want you to understand, it's not now that you have this brand new license and your job is every Sunday to march into this place and go, hey, you shouldn't be doing, stop that. That's immoral, that's wrong, that's causing this person to stumble, isn't it? Just not yes. And all of a sudden you're judging everybody in here. No, that's not what he's saying either. If you have permission and liberty to do something in your life that could be perceived by another believer as temptation or sin for them, then you need to keep it private or stop it for the sake of someone else. But there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. If it's causing someone else to stumble, what you're doing is not necessarily wrong, but broadcasting it and making it something public or posting it on Facebook is. If we were to look at, over a couple pages, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, I'll read this to you. Verse 7. However, not all possess this knowledge, but some through former association with idols eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. Let me tell you what he's talking about. He's talking about there are Christians now who have no problem eating meat that was sacrificed to an idol at some pagan god temple. They have no problem then eating that meat. though they are a Christian, they didn't sacrifice it, they didn't participate in it, but they went to the market and they had meat that was sacrificed to an idol, and they have no problem with it. They can eat it. Then there are those who say, I cannot eat that meat that was sacrificed to an idol. I have to have meat that was not sacrificed to an idol. Now, you may have personal preferences all over this room on what meat you would prefer. And Paul says, listen, for some, they struggle over this because of their past association. Let me put it in this context. You might have the liberty to have a glass of wine at your dinner. Okay? Or you go out to dinner, and you may have the liberty to have a glass of wine. We know that drunkenness is spoken against, but, you know, I'm hard-pressed to say, you know, you can't, you know, have alcohol of any sort. I can't find it in Scripture. I can see all the bad ramifications of drunkenness, and I can see it pointed out in Scripture. Now, you may have a liberty to go and have a glass of wine at dinner. But someone who is in Christ, they do not have the freedom to have alcohol of any kind, because in their past, they were associated with it. And for them, that is going backwards and becomes a real convictional issue, a guilt issue, like I'm disappointing Christ, I'm not following the Lord, I am not free to do that. And now they look at a brother and or sister in the Lord who are doing this publicly. And they're just minding their own business. We just had a glass of wine with our dinner here or whatever. And we think it's no big deal. We don't feel convicted over it. But because you have done it and someone has seen you, it can become a stumbling block to someone else. And if we consciously know that and still do it and cause someone to sin, millstone. If we become aware of it, as you are this morning, because we're talking about it, and you still have that freedom and liberty, and you don't want to give it up or stop practicing it, then you need to do it in private and not broadcast it, not take pictures of it, not post it on Facebook or wherever else you want, because it creates someone else to stumble. And out of your own concern for what matters to the Lord, you and I need to make changes for the sake of someone else, for the sake of their spirituality, for the sake of their faith, for the sake of their relationship with the Lord. Listen, we know that the kingdom of God is not based upon food and drink, but it is based upon how we live our life and this influence we want to be with people for the sake of the gospel. And what you do matters. Listen, it's not just what the pastor does that matters. It's what you do matters. I sat with some people this last week in their home. I was invited to meet with them, and they are newer to the church. And one of the questions, I said, you know, how did you come to New Life? How did you land here? How did you make your way over here? Tell me a little bit of your history. Because their conversation, we've been here a while, we like it here, we've had spiritual growth here, and you know what, we want to know how to become members. Well, I just started to talk with them a little bit about their story. And one of them said, I knew some people from your church. They call it my church. I let them get away with it. I don't say, oh, no, wait, it's not my, you know, we know this is not my church. We are the church. This belongs to Christ. She says, at your church, I knew some of the people. And I knew that they were truthful and sincere believers, Christians. Not just by label, but I knew who they were. I kind of knew a little bit about their life. They were watching you. And you made an impression. And said, so I decided to visit. And on the first service, I came in. And I came by myself the first time. This was one of the spouses, and said, I got in the service, and all I did was I just began to weep through the whole service. The Lord was just doing something that was very meaningful for me. I had an experience with Him. There was something different in the place. How did it start? Well, we give all glory and credit to the Lord and to the work of the Holy Spirit, because none of us are good enough on our own to just come and get to that place. But they were watching you. And how you lived outside of this place, yet wearing the ID, the identification that you belong to Christ, and yeah, that's where I go to church. The people they mentioned, it's not that they said, I wouldn't come to that church because I saw them over here and they were doing this and they were using this kind of language and they were doing da 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 da. See? What you do, how you live, it matters. When you think no one's watching, it matters. You carry His name. Don't think because you have a liberty and a freedom that it's the same liberty and freedom for everyone. And that your liberty and freedom, you can wave like a flag and a banner and say, quit judging me. It's okay for me to do this. It's okay for me to post this. It's okay for me to say these words. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. I'm going to tell you something. It's not okay. When you make it someone else's business other than yours and the Lord's. The potential is there to create difficulty, a stumbling, a tripping up for someone else. Hey, listen, we all make mistakes, and I'm glad that God is greater and bigger than our mistakes. But I want you to know, if we bear His name, then let's follow Him and do our best with God's help to walk according to His word, for the interest and having others' interests at stake. Your Christian life is not just about you. It's about the people in this room. It's about those who carry His name that go somewhere else. People can make assumptions and be wrong and misrepresent us. I get it. But let them make the misrepresentations because they made a misrepresentation. Don't let them make a presentation of us verified by our insensitivity to the Holy Spirit and to the life of others.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.